punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, America. Happy Wednesday, everybody. It's hump day. I've been waiting for a whole week now for today's show. I got Destiny Weeks from Sealing, Oklahoma. She's going to be on here in just a minute, and we're going to be talking about things going on in our in the state of Oklahoma that we should be concerned about and should at least pay attention to it. But first, let's check out some temperatures in our state of Oklahoma. 64 at Slap Out, 73 at Fairview, Sealing, you're 70, Mangum's 76, Hollis is 75. Out here in the Panhandle of Texas, we got 68 at Lipscomb, 70 at McLean, 77 at Odell, and 76 at Goodlet. Before we get Destiny on the air with us, I wanted to share something with you guys that one of my friends shared with me last night. Yesterday, I was talking about the rumor about somehow or another there was going to be some some programs come out about helping cattle producers rebuild the herd. And like I told you yesterday, it was a rumor. But yesterday on Fox News, Ag Secretary Rollins was on Fox News talking about solving the beef crisis. And I want to share this with you before we get Destiny on the air. There is no crisis if you think we have a beef crisis. There are way more crises that need attention before beef, according to her. Number one, lower machinery costs. Machinery has gone up 100% plus. Two, get rid of the deaf engines. U.S. farmers are discriminated against and made to pay $10,000 to $30,000 tractor and over $50,000 combine addition to their equipment. Three, enforce the antitrust laws and stop all the monopolies. I can't even talk today. Number four, I can't talk any day. Number four, penalize the USDA for lying about crop and livestock reports when the last time they told the truth. Number five, restore country of origin label and allow grain farmers the same standards as grain terminals where they dock the farmer that blend the crap in, and it's okay. Let the farmers every 5 years vote on these checkoffs to promote accountability. Technology fees. Why do farmers pay high technology fees or seed out foreign competition pays nothing? Do away with the boards of trade and mercantile exchanges and let farmers determine their own price. Or 10, have a government that is committed to making farming great again. So I just wanted to share that with you guys and say we got way more priorities to worry about than the herd rebuilding. The beef market is just fine right now. The guys are actually making a little money on their cattle, and the demand is still there. So that's why I just shared that with you. Well, on the phone with me from Sealing America is Miss Destiny. Not Miss, but we'll just say Destiny Weeks. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Jimmy. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you so much for coming on. And how's things in Sealing? Are you guys sowing? Is it green up there? You been getting any rain?
We have. Things are green. It's crazy. They were green all summer. I don't know if it gets any better. But yeah, everybody's busy planting. It's a busy time of year. The roads are busy. The county roads are busy. I always tell people, slow down. We'll get to the field and get out of your way as soon as we can. But it's a good fun time. Fall is always great in our part of the world this time of year.
Well, you've been on the energy show with Sean, but tell everybody a little bit about you.
You bet. I'm from the great town of Sealing, America, as you said. Proud hometown of Gary England and Tom Ward. My husband and I farm and ranch here. His family's been here for over 100 years. We're really lucky. We get to support our bad farming habit with a land service company. So we work in the energy sector Obviously very heavily invested in oil and gas, but also into the renewable sector as well. And we have the best job in the world. I say it every single time I get the chance to. I get to work with farmers and ranchers, which is our neighbors. It's just like us. So we're pretty blessed. We're raising two very rowdy boys and going to lots of football games on Saturdays.
How old are the boys?
10 and almost 6.
Oh.
And they are, yeah, it's a fun, fun time. We actually played Thomas last night. We were victorious over Thomas last night, and so I had a very happy little fourth grader.
Oh, yeah. So what position does he play? What's his name?
His name is Rhett, and he is playing defensive end. And his dad is elated because last year I think we thought maybe we were a cheerleader. We were not very aggressive, and this year he's found a gear. So my dad was a football coach when I was growing up, so it's all we know. And they didn't have much of a choice, but he's completely ate up and loves going to the OU games on Saturdays. So he is loving playing defensive end.
Oh, cool. See, so he's got the fever, right?
He does. He absolutely does. Yeah, he likes to destroy my living room, throwing the football around and hopping all over the couch with it. But I have four brothers, so I'm used to it. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, on you guys' farming and ranching side, what do you guys mainly raise cattle-wise?
Funny enough, cattle, we actually do a cross, an F1 cross with American Wagyu.
Okay.
We got into that a few years ago. Yeah, there was a buyback program. They taste delicious, so selfishly, I love that we do it. It's made me a little bit of a beef snob when I go to steakhouses. Like my husband grills my steak to perfection at home, and it's kind of hard to beat. But yeah, we're just cow-calf operation. And then we raise mostly wheat. When my husband wants to irritate me, we also raise summer crops, but primarily just wheat farmers.
I got you. And the so you guys, do you sell your Wagyu off to local people for processing at all, or do you just raise them and sell them?
We do, mostly for fun. We started it a handful of years ago. And then of course COVID hit and it really got busy. I mean, we were doing quite a bit, but I just love it. I love educating people. You know, a lot of people don't understand how we raise cattle. A lot of people don't understand, you know, what the term grain finished or grass fed, or perhaps even the difference between a bull and a steer. So it's always fun to just have an opportunity to visit with people. And that's what I enjoyed the most about selling it was obviously it's a great product. It tastes wonderful. Homegrown, you know, everybody feels like they're contributing to the ag community in doing so. But I think it's just a great opportunity to educate people that at no fault of their own, you know, they don't know. And so anytime we can educate the masses about what we do and kind of our lifestyle, I always take the opportunity.
Yeah. And well, a little birdie told me today that you guys, you and your family were a big help back during the big fire year before last, and you guys sent a bunch of your own hay on your own trucks to the dump sites and to other cattle producers for we lost a lot of grass in that big fire. So from my heart to yours, I want to thank you for that and your family.
That's what this community is. I mean, that's why when I say I have the best job in the world, I get to work with farmers and ranchers. I mean, it's because we're one community, you know, we're one family. We're all in it together. When you win, I win, and vice versa. So, it's a no-brainer. I'm glad to do it. And we've been helped. I mean, I think that's, you know, when we've needed it. And I think that's the beauty of where we live.
That's
everyone
right.
Would do it.
Yes. And I'm pretty sure this whole hour is not going to be long enough for you and I to talk about issues going on in Oklahoma. So are you ready to get started on that?
You bet.
All right. Let's talk about one of the things that you and I discussed was countywide zoning. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I'm a big no on countywide zoning. I don't know. You know, a lot of people may not understand, like in Kansas, you know, just our neighbor to the north, they're primarily zoned throughout the entire state. Their counties are zoned, which means there's a, you know, kind of like county commissioners, there's a permitting board that essentially gets to tell you what you can and can't do on your land as if you're living in town. I mean, they tell you where you can build stuff, where you can, you know, address things, how, you know, your fencing. I mean, all sorts of development has to get approved through a permitting process. You know, I am all about freedom. I think that you know what's best for you. And you know, even just neighbor to neighbor, our operations are going to look different. And we may need different things. And we do need different things. And I'm not sure that three people who may or may not, you know, even farm and ranch, should probably make that choice for you and I. And I certainly don't want to make that choice for you. And so we actually saw this proposed. There's a group working in Oklahoma, and they got together and they helped put this on the ballot in November in Craig County. And it was a huge fight. And there was a wonderful group of people that really locked arms and said, absolutely not. You know, we don't want to be zoned. We want our land to be left, you know, decisions be left to us. And fortunately, it failed drastically, I think by like 78%. So that was the good news. I think that's a pretty good pulse on how rural Oklahoma feels about zoning. But we're starting to see that comment. You know, we're always hearing it from those that are proponents of zoning, is they want some restrictions on what land can and can't be used for. And that's just, you know, mind-blowing to me. I don't want to tell my neighbor. I may not like, you know, maybe you don't want to look at my cattle. Maybe you want to look at something different, but it's my land, you know, and I just don't want that burden of being able to tell my landowner how they can and can't make a living. And I'll fight pretty hard against zoning every day.
Yes, and I'll give you a really good example with our neighbors to the north, because I lived in Kansas for 19 years. And at one point, I worked for a township between Overland Park and Lawrence up there. And yes, you're correct about the counties. The counties are done different up there than they are here. Like here we got, like in Beckham County, we got three county commissioners and they decide stuff that's going on around here and blah, blah, blah. Up in Kansas and those counties, the townships actually still maintain the roads in their township. The county maintenance deal, they take care of the blacktops and the bridges and the zoning, like you're talking about. And yes, I seen some really shady stuff going on up there in some of those counties when I was talking about it. And then plus you got, like, especially around Kansas City, you got this population growth going on and you have people moving from the city out in the counties, out in the country, wanting city services, you know, like I worked for that township for 3 years. I ran it. I did the blade and the gravel and everything. And I'm promise you, I was so sick of, I'm not nothing against city people, all right? Because I did live in the city up there, but I'm talking about true city people going, you need to blade my road every day. It just don't work that way, you know? And I will say that Kansas was really good about taking care of the weed problems, you know, especially the weeds that were, what weed am I talking about? The thistles. I mean, they send you a letter on your property and you had 10 days to take care of it or the fines would start coming in the mail. I'm okay with that because those thistles, whether they're Russian or whatever, thistles are real, they're terrible for our land and they millions of seeds and stuff like that. But yeah, I was caught off on guard. I was caught off guard on what that commission board was telling people out in the rural area, out in the ag area. That was crazy.
Yeah. And we had actually used a case from Kansas, I think in Leavenworth, if I'm saying that right, county.
That's right about where I was.
Yep. Where they actually denied a farmer a permit to build his house because they said it didn't qualify for agriculture use. And they said the barn was fine, but not the house. And thankfully, like, it went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court stepped in and said, okay, a house is pretty essential. Like, he needs to live, you know, near his farm in order, you know, to operate the farm. And so fortunately it was overturned, but that to me was a scary lesson that, you know, if somebody misinterprets or if some people decide that something that seems so obvious, like a home,
on your own land,
you know, on your own land that you bought, that you're paying property taxes on year after year, that you have the inputs on. I mean, it's crazy to me, but that actually happened. I mean, it was a 1980 case, and of course, there's several other, but to me, that was one of the craziest, you know, a home out there. So, yeah, I'm going to push back against zoning all day long.
Okay. And what was in Craig County, like, what was the name of the bill? Was it any trickery to it, or was it pretty just out there black and white?
No, it was pretty black and white. I mean, it just would implement that county zoning where essentially there would be a permitting process. I remember they did a wonderful job educating people on the issue. I think that's why they were able to defeat it so easily. But they, you know, they even had county workers expressing their concern and just about the cost, too. That's a part that I think people overlook, you know, even when like the Oklahoma Corporation Commission, like when we have new regulations, there's a cost, you know, associated with that. It costs something to pay somebody to regulate. And so I don't want to misspeak and say it was the treasurer or the assessor, but somebody in the county made that statement, said, hey, this is going to be an added cost that we need to consider, you know, and we have to fund it. And so, there was a lot of pushback on it, obviously, you know, the way it failed, but just they did a great job of educating people on the impacts it was going to have to everybody, you know, countywide.
All right. Well, Destiny, we need to take a break, our first break of three, and today is the Taylor Ranch break. Before we go to break, though, I have the Taylor Ranch question of the day. Beef cow slaughter is on the pace to be down 400,000 to 500,000 head this year. If that number holds, it will be the smallest beef cow slaughter since what year? A, 2013, B, 14, C, 15, D, 16. And I have the three amigos, Jose, Jesus, and Juanito, beef sticks from the Taylor Ranch. And I got a really sharp-looking, dark green Great Plains Bank hat. That's a really cool hat. Matter of fact, I might keep it for myself. No, not really. But anyway, number six on the text line, the Fowler Agency text line, 580-225-9697. If you just want to play, send your answer. But if you want to win the three amigos in that hat, please put your name down. But we'll be right back after this break.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
Timber Oklahoma is your safe and reliable expert tree care service. At Timber, we provide professional tree trimming and removal with a focus on safety, quality, and clear communication. With over 10 years of experience and certified in the Electrical Hazards Awareness Program, our crews provide tree trimming and removal, storm damage cleanup, utility line clearance. Call Timber today at 580-732-3400 or see us online at www.timberokla.com or email us at customercare@timberokla.com.
From the classroom to the field, Elk City High School students are igniting sparks of brilliance, fueling the fire of progress in every endeavor they pursue. Whether it's breaking records in the academics or dominating the field, these students are the driving force behind Elk City's dynamic spirit. GAS is fully committed to supporting and fostering the spirit of innovation, because in Elk City, it's not just about moving forward, it's about racing ahead. That's why we're...
Oh, yes! No race!
You farmers like saving money on stuff you gotta have? You can save instantly when you buy two or more eligible Bridgestone or Firestone Ag tires at Blair Tire and Feed. Get $300 off all eligible AD2IF and VF radial tires and Bridgestone radials. Get $200 off all eligible non-82 radial tires, and get $25 off Destination Farm and Destination Turf. Blair Tire and Feed at the crossroads in Blair, Oklahoma. Save instantly on the tires you gotta have.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, September 19th. 1,996 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 403 brought 520. 12 at 504 brought 46. 14 at 577 brought 405. 8 at 696 brought 347. 54 at 795 brought 312. 7 at 796 brought 315. 11 head of heifers at 415 brought 420. 6 at 458 brought 420. 7 at 504 brought 407. 50. 15 at 600 brought 342. 50. 5 at 619 brought 360. 3 at 742 brought 327.50. 4 at 830 brought 322.50. Butcher cows were 40 to 170. Butcher bulls brought 131 to 208. Bred cows 700 to 3750. Pairs 2800 to 4150. Elk City Livestock Auction 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey 580-497-6095.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here's your Central Crop Care LLC Ag, grain, market, cattle. Everything update real quick. December corn 425 down one. Soybeans for November 1010 down 1.5. Soybean meal October 272.70 down 240. Soybean oil October 49.44 up 9. Hard red winter wheat December 509 down 2.5. A lot of red on the board today. Live cattle October 233.90 down 170. December's down 207 at 236.67. Feeders for October 360.50 down 162. November 358.52 down 222. Lean hogs October 99.65 up 87. One more thing before we get back to Destiny. Weeks is on the show with me today talking about problems that we need to be looking out for in Oklahoma, or we already have, or we need to just keep our ears and eyes available and watch out for some of this stuff that's going on. I wanted to take just a moment of silence. We lost a great lady yesterday. Debbie Hickey passed away. They've been part of the Elk City Sale Barn for a number of years. Brandon, her son, actually runs it now. But she passed away yesterday afternoon, and she was just a delightful person to be around. She didn't even know me when I first met her, and I thought she was like my second mom. She's just a wonderful person. So if you guys will, let's just take a few seconds here and say a quick prayer for Debbie, if you will. Okay, well, on the phone with me from Sealand, Oklahoma is Destiny Weeks. And we were talking about the counties and doing some zoning like they do in Kansas and probably some other states. Destiny, what else we got on the list that we need to talk about? I lost my email. Where'd it go? Bear with me a second here. There it is. I got it back. Are you there, Destiny?
I'm here.
Oh, cool. I lost my email. I think I punched the wrong button. So, good thing they didn't have computers when I was in high school. I'd have failed every class. Here we go, Destiny. I got your email here. Let's talk about, as soon as it pops up here. Hey, what about, here we go. Anti-property rights to a group claiming to save Oklahoma. I've seen that on social media, and I just shake my head.
Yeah, it's pretty radical. The group's claiming to save, they have a plan. They're going to save Oklahoma farms and ranches. The funniest part to me right out of the gate is that most of the people advocating for this stuff don't farm and ranch. You made a comment earlier, that, you know, over in Kansas City, you know, people from the metro were moving out into the country and now they want, you know, some of the city and the rural parts. And that's what we're seeing here. I mean, it's a small group, a small but noisy, I'll give them credit, group. most of which live in the metro area or on the fringe of the metro area, that have the slightest bit of ag in them, but don't, you know, practice it. And there's a really big difference between, you know, having a small connection to farming and ranching and actually being a farmer and rancher. And neither is right or wrong. You know, I want to make that clear. There's nothing wrong if your version of farming is a hobby farm of, you know, 10 chickens or a garden or, you know, 5 pet cows. I think that's wonderful. What I love the most about ag is that it's going to raise my kids. They're not going to have time to get in trouble because their dad's going to be working them to death. So, I mean, I think any time you can introduce that into raising children and families, I'm a huge proponent. My problem is when you have people that have never done it or don't do it, trying to tell us what to do. And they're a huge anti-property rights group. They, you know, their big push, of course, was energy development. That's kind of their headliner. But in the same breath, they're wanting to put restrictions and regulation and legislation on the fertilizers, the chemicals, irrigation. I was told by their leader, you know, she posted on our social media advocacy group page that Roundup is the reason that rural areas have high suicide rates. It's the Roundup we're using. And, you know, the hormone in plants and cattle is dangerous. And you can't put healthy and hormone in plant in the same sentence. I mean, just crazy things. And when we share facts, you know, real data, science-backed data, they just completely dismiss it. And it's all in this, you know, name of saving Oklahoma farms and ranches. And like, I don't want a rural HOA, you know, like, let us do what we've done for hundreds of years. Nobody cares more about the land and the quality of land and crops and cattle than the ones who own it. And so it's super alarming. We're fighting it the best we can. But it's a slow move. You know, we've got to educate people and get people to understand how what happens to farmers and ranchers in rural Oklahoma affects everybody in Oklahoma City too. So it's a big education process, but I think we're making headway for sure.
Yeah, and probably some of these people that are members of this anti-property rights group probably think your vegetables are grown in the grocery store too, right?
Yeah, they have no idea, like, to scale. You know, the same practices that you have in your home garden do not translate on an industrial scale, you know, and that's what they don't understand. I mean, you're not hand-picking weeds in the wheat field or, you know, anything else. So it's frustrating, especially to use the name to save Oklahoma farms and ranches. You know, that to me, it's a little bit insulting. When I was speaking at a Senate committee meeting not long ago, and I said that to me is the scam, is you're using my name and my industry and my lifestyle in order to make rules that make my life harder. So it's a little bit insulting, but we have a group that is working tirelessly that are true farmers and ranchers that are, you know, combating it, and luckily we do have a lot of common sense still left in the state, and I think we're being heard.
Yeah, and it's yeah, because, you know, for example, out in California, I don't know what the name of that group was out there. It wasn't Save California. It was a group that got on the ballot in California about letting the people vote for how much room. What was that? Section 12 or whatever that was, that vote. And to expand the area and even dictate to hog farmers outside the state of Oklahoma or California how much room a sow needs to raise a litter of pigs. And instead of going to the people that know, let their ag department regulate this, they put it towards the vote of a people, and which I don't know how many millions of people are in California, but a lot. And so, those little babies need more room with their mama. Well, that's what voted it in and cost a bunch of pork farmers a lot of money more regulations and more regulations. Same thing happened in Massachusetts. And also, you know, they let the people vote in Colorado to release wolves back into the wilderness, and those people, oh, we get to go out there and see those wolves. Well, it's the same people voting yes that have no clue what's going on. Leave it up to the wildlife department. That's what we have all these departments for. And just like you're talking about chemicals within Oklahoma, we have the Oklahoma Department of Agriculture that's more than way good on regulating this stuff, and they already do. That's why we have to go to school to get all these CEUs to spray chemicals in our fields and all this other stuff. And I am a member of that Save Oklahoma Facebook page, and I've made a couple comments on there, real political. I was more diplomatic. I didn't get radical with them. And I had a bunch of people come back on there and say, why are you in this group? That's what we're dealing with.
No, it is. And it's scary because, you know, they are noisy, and it's a lot easier to hate something than to advocate for something. You know, it's just easy to get on there and spew stuff that you don't have any clue. And I mean, in the same breath that they want to save us, in the same breath they want to regulate us, we're called, you know, and I mean, they post it publicly on Facebook, which is wild, but they call us lazy. You know, farmers, we're lazy for not changing our practices. We're cheap for not changing our practices. We've been called the welfare queen. I mean, that's a direct quote, welfare queen. I joked that we were going to put it on our shirts when we go back to the Capitol this year, you know, welfare queens, just to kind of slap back at them. But, and I'm like, you have no idea what we're facing, because if you did, you wouldn't be focusing on this. I loved how you started this segment about the crisis. I love how cattle, ranchers making money on cattle is somehow a crisis. Like, you know, you listed all the things we're actually facing. Not one time have they addressed the things that we're actually facing as a farming community. And that's what we're trying to combat. And we're trying to educate people, you know, and let them understand what it is that we're up against. Our friends in Arkansas are facing it terribly right now. I mean, those rice farmers, I saw an article where they're saying they're expecting 1 in 3 farmers to basically have to close shop, to go bankrupt because of the floods that they got. And of course the high inputs and the low commodity prices. And then, you know, you get floods like they've had, and they're begging for help and they're begging for aid. And, you know, I looked into it. I was like, why is this so dire? You know, obviously there was a weather factor, which we always have, but what is it that's doing it? And one of the biggest reasons why Oklahoma fares so well compared to, you know, our neighbor in Arkansas is the energy that we have. I mean, you know, being in Elk City, I mean, it's oil, you know, oil country out there, but we're Western Oklahoma and all of Oklahoma for that matter. I mean, we're so lucky to have the energy resources that we do, that it works hand in hand, you know, with our landowners and gives them that shot in the arm, whether it's a pipeline or, you know, if you're lucky enough to have the minerals, you know, getting those royalty payments or a wind turbine or solar, whatever it is that gives us a chance, because those are the real things that we're fighting. Is everybody just wants to be able to keep going, you know, and pass it on to the next generation.
You're a secret admirer that's listened to the show today. Excuse my French. He said, she's not good. She's damn good. So,
how funny.
Hey, we need to take another break and another Taylor Ranch break. And we do have a winner on that question. And the answer was 2015. I thought I was going to have to give a hint out there for a minute, like, when was the drought officially over? What year did it get rain? And what year did the cattle prices kind of plummet? And it was 2015. So we're going to take a Taylor Ranch break, and we'll be right back after this.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Sometimes the guys just need to talk about what's going on in their lives, so they come into my office and we visit for a while. Life isn't always easy, but it gets easier when there's someone to talk to and do life together. At Canyon Oilfield Services, we're not perfect people, but we try really hard to do the best we can for the customers we serve. We also try really hard to do the best we can for each other. If you're a driver, come help us take care of those customers, and we'll do what we can to help take care of you. The pay is good, and so are the benefits. More than that, you won't be treated like a cog in the machine. You are important, and I strive for everyone to be treated as a human being that was made in the image of God. We are looking for drivers, specifically at night. If you're ready for a change, come see us. I'm Michael Sloan with Canyon Oilfield Services. Go to canyonoilfield.com and click on careers. Remember, if we take care of each other first, we are able to take better care of our customers and our family. At Canyon Oilfield Services, the key word is service.
Kent Watkins here with SEI Agritech in Elk City, Oklahoma. When it comes to feeding your cattle, try our Mixed 30 supplement, packed with high energy and quality protein to keep your herd thriving. If you're dealing with pests, we carry caput, feral hog, gopher, and prairie dog bait to help protect your land. And don't forget, we are now booking winter contracts for feed and mineral. Secure the best for your cattle before the season changes. Give us a call at SEI Agritech on South Randall in Elk City.
I've had several clients when we're sitting in a closing room. We're signing the final pieces of paper, and we slide the keys across the desk and tell them, congratulations, you're a homeowner, and they're just elated. They're thrilled. They finally realize that their dream came true. They were actually able to own a home, and the children are in there with them. And they're like, I get to go get my new room. It's for the whole family to enjoy. They're very excited to own a home. I'm Joe Shepard, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sarah.
Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about, how am I going to make this car payment? How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Meet AgSense 365 from Valley. They've combined their best in-class remote irrigation management applications into one powerful platform. Easily manage everything from pivots to pumps and more, anytime, anywhere, all with AgSense 365. Contact Knutson Irrigation at 1-800-373-9325 today to learn more about AgSense 365, the most intuitive app for remote irrigation management. Online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Okay, welcome back. Sealing, Oklahoma. Here is your ag weather update for northwestern Oklahoma. 73. Winds are out of the north at 11. Wind gusts up to 17. 74 one-hundredths of an inch of rain in the last 10 days. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature. 75 degrees, 7:32 sunset, 20% chance of thunderstorms today, and 73 for a high. Tonight, 55 and clear. Tomorrow, sunny and 80 degrees. Well, Destiny Weeks from Sealing America is on the show with me today, and we're talking just about issues that people in the rural communities out in the ag world that own land, et cetera, need to be paying attention to, because there's some, I guess, I don't want to call them crazy people, but their blood pressure can get up really quick, and I don't know what else to say nice. So help me out, Destiny. There you go. Sorry. Try that again. I got you.
I don't know if I have anything nicer to say, so I tend to agree with you. Yeah, I mean, they're passionate. Hey, and I like a passionate person. I don't have to agree with you to appreciate your stance. And I think the best part of this country is that we should be able to disagree, you know, and it be cordial, but it gets pretty out there with that group. I'll say that.
And they're very, very vocal. They got people's attention.
They do. Yep. It's easy to make noise, and you know what they say, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. So,
and I'm guessing our lobbyists for our state agricultural organizations like the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, Oklahoma Farm Bureau, et cetera, I guess they're keeping an eye on this for us also, aren't they?
Yeah, I hope so. I adore Michael Kelsey with the Cattlemen's Association. I visited with him several times at the Capitol. Farm Bureau has a great reputation. You know, they have a lot of members, a lot of paying members. We definitely need them to, you know, they have meetings across the state, and they have essentially their bylaws. You know, I don't know if that's the correct term, but everybody's agreed, even when they don't like a topic, like say wind, for example, even when they don't like wind, they still voted and said, hey, I don't want wind. I don't want to look at it, but I think my neighbor should have that right. And
exactly.
Every single year they have voted, you know, to support that. And so we definitely need their help at the Capitol getting vocal and saying, hey, property rights are property rights. It's pretty cut and dry. You know, what's right for me is right for me, and what's right for you is right for you. And that's not for us to debate. So yeah, they have such a great reputation and strong relationships at the Capitol that, their support's pretty paramount.
Yeah. Cause I don't like wind towers. I don't like solar farms, but that's what I don't like. That doesn't mean because my best friend's got a solar farm that I don't like him anymore. I think it's a big game myself, but this is my personal thoughts. But on the flip side of this, I understand why these landowners have wind towers and solar farms on their land, because, you know, the income is really good. It's no different than having an oil rig, build a location on your land and drilling an oil and gas well on your location. It's no different. But that's that landowner's business. If he wants that stuff on his land, that's his deal. And I know some people are going to text in, or when they see me next, that doesn't mean I want to look at it, but it better not leak anything on my land. And I understand all that. Don't get me wrong. I own land, and I realize that. And I'm hoping the further we get into this, can't do much different with the wind towers, but the solar farms, instead of taking our land out of agriculture production, I was hoping we could do something like, you know, in the cities where they got these big parking garages, putting them on the top roof, or if they do build solar farms, put the panels way up in the air so that the cattle or the sheep or whatever can graze underneath it. I mean, there's all kinds of different things that we could be using, you know, instead. But we're taking a lot of land out of production on those solar farms, and I just hope we can get a alternative use out of that same land. Does that make sense?
No, it does. And I think what people have to realize is that property rights give you the right to say no also.
Right.
Right. Like it's that's the beauty of it. And that's what I advocate for, even as a landman. I mean, I sure want you to tell me yes, but I'll just tell you, I will fight tooth and nail for your right to tell me no. And, you know, with solar, it teach their own, you know, it's good for some, not good for others. It doesn't take out, and I wish I had the numbers in front of me, but it doesn't take out the land that you think it might. In that energy study, they showed the numbers of like how many acres, if everything that was in the queue position that was, which of course wouldn't get built anyways, but if everything that was filed were to get built, it was like a point something percent of the acres total in Oklahoma. Like it was crazy minimal. So it seems large when you're looking at it, but on grand scale, it's not at all. But the point being is energy will continue to develop, you know, and we have to have energy. That's the other thing. Nobody likes looking at a turbine, or maybe some people do. Nobody likes looking at an oil well or hearing a compressor station or not being able to build your corrals where you wanted to build them because there's a pipeline there from 1974, you know, or whatever the case is. But we have to have energy. I don't think we want, you know, we're going to have less of a need for that. I sure want to use my air conditioning next summer. But I, you know, I think that goes all the way back to what your point of just allowing those landowners to make that choice for themselves, and protecting my right to say yes protects your right to say no.
Well, it all goes back to what you and me have brought up a few times in the show here and talked to about on the phone. You know, on the agriculture side, the inputs are crazy high. Go buy a truck with a farm bed on the back of it. Go buy a tractor. Call to get your tractors repaired. And I'm not downgrading our tractor dealers around here. It's just, it is. They understand too, but you know, it's they've got cost also. But So on putting solar farms or a lease location for an oil rig, drilling rig on your land, or wind towers, I understand that's good income, and that offsets a lot of these break evens or losing money on your farm as it is. And yes, cattle prices are good right now, and you should be doing fine. And it's just one of those deals. I have a question from the text line. So do you guys have any wind towers on your land?
Yeah, we actually built a house south of town a few years ago. And my husband likes to throw around the rule that if it touches us, we have to at least consider buying it if it comes for sale. And there was an 80 acres next to us that came for sale, and it had two turbines on it. And yes, we did buy it. So it has two turbines. And my house, I put my money where my mouth is. My house that we built a couple years ago is right smack dab in between three wind projects. So they're all around my house.
They, one person here on the text line, I got a couple more questions here. And would the right to farm state question that failed about 10 years ago have helped with any of this?
You know, that was such a debated bill. And I mean, I think any time you can, there was good and bad to it, right? I mean, I tended to think that there was some good, and it might have been able to help keep things at bay. But I mean, one bill can kind of debunk a portion of another. And so that's like having a crystal ball. I don't know if it would have kept some of this at bay or not.
Well, that was a good question. And then very good question. Let's see here. Yeah, it says, would the right to farm state question that failed a decade ago help? If I remember right, Barry Switzer was heard to say it would have protected puppy mills. And then he says, go Pokes. So,
there it's a hard day for Oklahoma sports.
It was really hard yesterday. I mean, he was Gundy got released, and then our quarterback at OU going for surgery. But that's all right. After the OU defense gets through with Manning down there in Texas, he won't even come back for the second half. So,
I hope you're right.
Hey, you know, going we got just a couple minutes here. Going back to Arkansas, you know, South Carolina, from that hurricane year before last, they just got, you know, all those major floods. We were sending help from here in Oklahoma. Oil and farm people were sending a lot of help over there. They got a bunch of money here just last month. And, I mean, it was kind of late, but, you know, we was going through a administration, we transfer. And it was crazy, but that's good. But I would think there's something else going on in Arkansas that I can't put my finger on, because you're right. That Arkansas deal has come up a few times here lately in our news media and on the media stuff that I get on agriculture. Wonder what's going on there, because they got a wonderful governor. You'd think she had some pull.
Yeah, I was reading an article, and I just don't think Arkansas has the funds. There was a quote from somebody, it was a lawmaker. It said, we can't print money like the federal government. I mean, and the federal government's looking at helping with subsidies, but they don't happen overnight.
Right.
And it's not going to help them now. I wondered, too, and that's what I did a little bit of research on, and I've thought about this question since, is I'm wondering if their insurance is different, you know, their crop insurance. To where maybe it's more difficult to attain, or maybe it doesn't pay the way that they need it to in an instance like this. Or if it's, you know, I heard people say all the time, well, just insure your cattle. I'm like, well, it's easier said than done, you know, and they don't understand the caveats that go into that. And so I don't know if maybe that has a play into it, but that's why, again, I think anytime you have something like energy, like a pipeline, I mean, you know, or whatever that might come your way, you take the opportunity when you can, because you don't know when the next drought's going to hit, or the next fire, or the next flood. And but yeah, I've wondered if their insurance doesn't play a role in this.
Yeah. Well, Destiny, I got one last question before I got to go, because I got one more break and they won't have very much time after I get back from that break. So do you watch the show Landman?
I did.
Okay, so is there one in Oklahoma going to come out about you?
Mine would be a lot different, you see, because I love Billy Bob Thornton, and I'll pretty much watch anything he's in. But I will tell you, there's like one 30-second piece of that whole show about land work, and the rest, they should have called Company Man. So I haven't been kidnapped by the cartel yet. Knock on wood, I hope that continues to be.
Watch out for Save Oklahoma. So.
You're not wrong. Yeah.
Hey, how does people get a hold of you for questions, or how do they follow you to keep up to date with all this stuff? And I got a feeling I'm going to have you on the show again in the near future.
Well, I'd love that. We actually, the landowner group that showed up, now there was a few hundred of us that showed up a couple times this session. We've gotten together and organized, and we're on Facebook, and it's called Hands Off My Land, Oklahoma.
Okay.
And they can follow it. They can send us a message, make a post, whatever. We are truly, we are not funded. We are not sponsored. We are just a group of landowners that said enough is enough. And we've come together to kind of combat some of this crazy stuff. And we'd love to have input and know what's important to everybody across the state. I've learned so much in talking with people that, you know, are outside of Dewey County. So it's been really nice.
Okay. Destiny, thanks again for coming on the show today, and you have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Jimmy. You as well.
All right, bye. All right, let's take a Taylor Ranch break, and we'll be right back.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling, someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Next spring, you'll fire up the tractor, turn the earth, plant the seed, and be on your way to another harvest. If you take care of your tractor right now. Before you put it up, do the maintenance so you'll be ready to go next spring. Everything you need to keep your tractor performing is at Camrock Supply. All the grease and hydraulic fluids and filters. All the nuts and bolts. All the tire patches. All the stuff is at Camrock Supply. All of it. Next to Fred's Steakhouse in Elk City. When it's time, make sure your tractor is ready to go.
We couldn't wait. We had to get started. In the land of Ford, October is really Trucktober, a time to challenge ourselves and help truck buyers. The stock is in, and our place is covered with over 100 pickup trucks. We even had to ship some over to Truck Island. They're all waiting for loving families to give them a good home. To meet the challenge of selling 100 trucks by the end of October, we're going to take big trades and make big deals. The Trucktober Challenge is on at Barber Dyson Ford in Elk City, online at barberdysonford.net. Truck lovers, come and get them.
My mom used to take me to the local dairy when I was a little girl, and I always was interested in learning where my food came from. I didn't grow up on a farm. I'm from the city, but please don't hold that against me. We owned a farm in Colorado and again here in western Oklahoma. My name's Becky Brown, and my husband's name's Tony Tummins, and together we own BT Butchers, a mobile meat processor. We bring our trailers to you, your place processed your way. Please find us at B as in Becky, T as in Tony, butchers.com. That's btbutchers.com. We would love to help you feed your family. The short wait list and two-day turnaround means we move pretty fast, and since we come to you, it really is convenient. Not bad for a girl from the city. We would love to help you feed your family.
You're so busy out on the farm, you don't run into town unless you absolutely have to. The folks on the east side of Wheeler make it easier for you to stay on the farm. They'll deliver high-pro feed in bulk to your place. They deliver bulk feed in 5 states. They're used to it. But if you're in town, stop in and ask about lick tubs and talk to them about fertilizer. They've got plenty of that too. Your cattle and crops don't have better friends than the folks at the Wheeler General Store. Sure, they're on Facebook, but mostly they're on Highway 152 on the east side of Wheeler. That's Wheeler General Store.
There's some great cattle to be had at Sweetwater. The third annual McIntyre Red Angus Fall event is Monday, October 6th at 1 p.m., featuring 51 registered age advantage bulls. Also selling 85 top-shelf commercial Red Angus AI bred heifers due in January and February, plus 14 registered open heifers. View the sale online at cci.live.
Okay, everybody, that's it. I ran out of time. How about that timing? We'll see you guys tomorrow. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City in Sayre, Oklahoma. God bless everybody.